The holidays are a time of celebration and unity. However, it's not family dinners and gifts for everyone. Some are struggling, and it's more apparent than ever. Many organizations are doing their best to help people this holiday season. Let's hear about the stories of Community Helpers Unite and Peg City Kindness Crew. Maybe they'll help inspire and bring people together to make a difference.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, Ryan. So my name is Brandy Beaubier. I'm the CEO and Community Connector for Community Helpers Unite. But I'm also the Food Security Coordinator for the North End Community Renewal Corporation. So we work hand in hand to pass resources back and forth and make sure that we can use my connections and resources at NERC to offset what we're doing here at Community Helpers Unite, or CHU. Since the last time we talked, we've actually increased exponentially again. I think last time we talked, we were just getting into, or we were just like a year in operation with Ndinawemak as the food service partner. And now we've actually increased our warehouse space. We've doubled it. We took over the unit next door because we had one and a third unit where it housed us and Leftovers Rescue Food. But now we've moved Leftovers Rescue Food into unit three. We've got unit 2, 3, and 4 now.
Wow.
And so Leftovers has moved into a bigger section so that they can increase their volume, and which in turn provides us with more food as well as all the other 100 agencies that they provide services to. But at the same time, it allows us to park our transport van for food deliveries and donation pickups indoors. That way it's safe because we are at Jarvis and McGregor. We also have a new hamper program that we opened up out of the new Unit 4 side. It's actually a paid hamper program through Jordan's Principal. It's with SERDC, that's the Southeastern Resource Development Council. And they have like a family food support program for people living off reserve. And it wasn't, it was a very hard to track and a hard to keep accountable program the way that it was structured previously. And they were starting to see a lot of problems with like the lack of dignified service and the lack of customer service from these for-profit grocery stores that they were dealing with, that they were sending food POs to, purchase orders to. And so when I approached them and said, hey, like we could do a standard family food support program where we do like really good boxes that are like pantry box, dairy and deli box, frozen meat packs that are really good variety. Yeah, all that good basics. And then the people don't have to be transported to the grocery store. They don't have to be policed on site as to what the employees think are junk food or what they can and can't put on the purchase order. And then we know that they're getting meal making items and they're getting lunchbox friendly items for their kids. So it's been about 6 weeks now. And so far things are going really well. We've had a lot of good feedback and a couple other agencies that have come on board to get on the program as well. So we're seeing a lot of really good impact. And because it's being delivered by the respite workers and ordered by the case managers, it's giving those staff extra touch points with these families so they can actually see if there's other things happening that they need to address or that they need resources for, and they can keep better communication with them, which I think in the long run.
Yeah, sort of a two-pronged approach sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, so we've got all that rolling out of the warehouse, but then we also have our food services kitchen, our production kitchen at Salvation Army Wedema building, which I think we were just in for like maybe a year last time we talked.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're November 25th was our 2-year anniversary being
wow.
there. And December 1st was the 2-year anniversary of the opening of Ndinawemak at 190 Disraeli. Yeah, we got to have a big celebration. We had a pipe ceremony and a water ceremony and had a feast after. And the 150 relatives who reside there got to have the same feast that we did.
Oh, that's exciting.
So we provided...
That's amazing.
Oh, and we were able to provide this amazing lunch because one of the partners went hunting, and him and his family, they caught a moose.
Ooh.
So we were able to provide moose stew and bannock and berry crisp for dessert and give everybody that wonderful comfort traditional food.
Oh, that's so exciting.
Yeah, and everybody loved it. It was so beautiful. But yeah, so we've been growing at the community kitchen at the at Salvation Army Widama, because now we're utilizing a lot more donations that we're receiving. The word's getting out and we're getting a lot more donated food. And in turn, we've been able to turn that plus our production overage for Ndinawemak into soups and stews and sandwiches for 20 different community walks that walk the streets of Winnipeg. And so they go like through the lower income neighborhoods, they go down to the tent encampments, they go to the riverbank encampments and things like that. And they're just handing out the love via food.
Grassroots organizations like yourselves are so important because, as you're mentioning, you're connecting to so many different aspects within the community, seeing what needs there are and helping fill those needs. And I mean, it's really cool to see how much you've grown over these past 2 years. I mean, it is always sad when we need organizations like this to support people, but it's amazing and great that you are there to help in those needs. So you're mentioning a number of different programs and partners that you work with. I think I heard Leftovers in there.
Yeah, we're still connected with Leftovers. Yeah, so Leftovers Rescue Food, I actually was the sole proprietor caterer who reached out to Leftovers in 2019 and said, hey, you're like, I'm responsibly using my leftover food from production. Everybody should be doing it. And you guys have a really great app-based model that is doing that in Alberta. Can you bring it here to Winnipeg? And they got back to me when they got national funding status, and we launched it in 2020. And so, and shortly after, I resigned because we started Community Helpers Unite after I saw the gaps in the system where people just weren't being fed and there just wasn't a way to feed them, I guess, because others weren't thinking outside the box the way that I do. And we were able to really start Community Helpers Unite as a gap filler. And so far, that's why we've been so successful. And it's cool that you mentioned about the, that you acknowledged about the, about Leftovers being a part of what we're doing, but also that it's sad that there's this much need, but good that there's organizations like us, because our goal at Chew is to be put out of business, essentially. Like, we don't have this like lofty 25-year goal where we're going to grow Community Helpers Unite and whatever, whatever.
Yeah, if you're reaching 50 years, there's really something going on out there.
When it comes down to it, like, we don't want to see food security be an issue in 5 years from now. We want to figure out these ways that we're doing, these offshoot and rogue ways that we're doing food security and providing people with food security. We want those to build that rapport with community members who need it the most, so that we can then talk to them about what they need to get out of those cycles and start those conversations with them and provide them with those opportunities to break barriers to employment so that they can get off of EIA, or so that they can offset their permanent disability that they can't get off of, but they can offset it in a different way so that they can become food secure and so that they can have a better quality of life. So we work in that way to make sure that, yes, we're doing catering and as a social enterprise, and yes, we're doing food services for nonprofits, including at a homeless shelter, a women's shelter, and an elders residence. But the goal isn't to do that forever. The goal is to get those people where they don't need to be in those social service environments in the first place, and then focus more on education and training.
Now that we have a new provincial government in place,
hopefully
we see some new changes and some positive changes, so organizations like yourself don't have to exist. Because yeah, that is always the goal, that is always the dream, that the systems in place and the current economy are in a place where people can succeed, where people can thrive.
Yep, exactly. I don't know, like, I've been checking with a lot of people since the election about, like, people that have been in community work and in social services for a long time. And they're like, oh, I remember we used to have NDP government and it was great, even though it was only a minority government. You know, they were still able to get some things done and this and that, and more money for community organizations and things. But it's really cool the way that we're in a majority government now, because all the things that we've been talking with the NDP about for years, we can actually get them done now because they have the full say. It's cool. I've never done community work under anything but a PC government. That's why we started as a social enterprise, because there literally was all these agencies fighting tooth and nail for the funding that existed, never mind bringing in a new organization like us and go, yeah, give us the money. That's what everybody's doing. So, I mean, we've been flying along with catering, helping to provide us with that financial stability so that we don't have to be a part of that, oh my God, we need a bigger funding pool kind of racket. Now, with there being an NDP government, I think that we're going to see a lot more money coming back to community programming, focusing on prevention and mental health and the social systems that create the poverty in the first place.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
One of the things you were talking about before is food rescue. And I think for a lot of people, they might be confused with like, what does that even mean? Rescuing food? The kind of methods and groups that you have in place in order for this food not to go to waste.
There is a high level, because Winnipeg is the center for ground travel for distribution of food coming from the States, coming from producers, coming from the States, coming from overseas, whatever. If it hits the ground, Winnipeg is the hub for ground travel. So if something is found by a distributor or a grocery store or some other producer along the way or middleman to be like refrigeration issues or quality issues or spec issues. My favorite right now in the last 2 months is Costco turning away an entire pallet of cucumbers because they were an inch and a half too short.
Oh boy.
So they couldn't sell them. So they didn't even hit the floor. Thankfully, we got them because we do pickups at Costco regularly, and Leftovers Rescue Food initiated that and said, hey, Costco said they have two pallets of cucumbers that they can't sell because they're not the right spec. So can we go and pick them up in the transport van? The answer is always yes. And we ended up distributing those. Julia at Leftovers distributed them within, I think, a day or less, like maybe within a matter of hours. And I mean, our organization got to take, I think we got like half of a pallet because of all the community walks that we serve and the high volume of meals that we do. So we were able to take like half of one of the pallets and have it out within a few days. It was incredible. But like, these are the things where these distributors previous to Rescue Food being in Winnipeg, previous to Leftovers launching here and Second Harvest launching here and Loop and Food Mesh, and all those little organizations that rescue food, they're all organizations that do basically the same thing, but in different sort of different ways.
Yeah.
So they take that food from the donors, where the donors, they get in contact with the donors, and the donors say, oh yeah, I have this thing that needs to go, that's going in the garbage because it looks ugly or it's not shaped right, or my favorite with Costco, past the 72-hour freshness guarantee. So they can't sell it, I guess. And so these organizations will, whoever they're working with, they will say, okay, let's have a volunteer go pick it up, or hey, let's have somebody drop it off, or something like that. And then that goes out to the agencies that those organizations have called out as their partner agencies. And they send out maybe a blast email saying, hey, we've got two pallets of cucumbers that came in, first come, first serve, come and pick up. And then agencies will come and pick up. For those that don't have a vehicle, because a lot of smaller grassroots groups don't have like a van available or a staff person to come and pick up, Leftovers has volunteers on an app that will go and do that route, where they'll come to the warehouse to pick up, or they'll go to Cisco to pick up, or they'll go to Costco or wherever, Red River Co-op grocery stores or Cobb's Bread or whatever. And they go and they do that pickup and they drop it off to the agency. So it removes that barrier of not having a person and a volunteer.
Well, I think it's just always so mind-boggling how much food gets wasted. And I just brought up a few
it's
statistics.
Insane.
I think in Canada, over 3.2 million metric tons of edible food goes to waste annually. Yeah. And only about 4% is rescued. And as you're talking about Leftovers, I think at their statistics for all Leftover Foundation locations, they saved about 539,000 pounds of food, something like that. It's just so interesting in our current society how we often just forget about these things, that with our food, it just goes to waste, like you're mentioning.
Yeah, exactly.
An inch too short for a cucumber sort of thing. And
whole pallet's gone because it's an inch too short. Or like Peak of the Market. It's cool, the partnership that Leftovers has with Peak of the Market. because they have these 1,000 pound bins and 2,000 pound totes of potatoes. And they'll go through, they come out of a hopper and they go through them quality control and says, oh yeah, that one's too big, that one's too small. Oh, all of these are too gnarly looking. They're too knobbly. We can't use these ones. So even the superstore imperfect, naturally imperfect bags that they have, they don't even pass to go into those bags.
Interesting.
And they go, no, we can't sell those. So then they hold those totes or the bins until they have 24, the footprint of 24 of those package sizes. And then that fills a 53-foot trailer. So once they have 24 sitting, then they are close to it. Then they post it on Food Banks of Canada. And then somebody comes all the way from Quebec or all the way from BC and picks up all those potatoes and takes them back. Because right now we're the only ones, like Leftovers is the only one other than R.B. Russell High School through Food Rescue, like through Second Harvest, that takes those full bins and boxes them themselves. We're taking as much as we can. They're taking as much as they can. If somebody like Harvest Manitoba were to get in there and be like, yeah, we'll take 10,000 pounds a week, then they wouldn't have to ship them anywhere. And the carbon footprint reduces vastly.
So like it kind of has all aspects. Not only are you reducing the carbon footprint because you're not transporting stuff
exactly.
as much. That food's getting to people who need it. And all of this kind of ties together with your kitchen, because you're mentioning last time you got a bunch of food or like, I can't remember if it was tomatoes or something.
Oh, there's always like something. Yeah.
We're right on the edge. Donations. And then you got them there and started like canning them and like making soups and
the
stuff.
The tomato situation. That was a fun one. It was like I think it was a Friday afternoon, and Gordon Food Service called me and said, Brandy, we have a pallet of tomatoes that are not going to last the weekend. Can I send them to you? Like, we'll throw them on our truck even just to get them out of here. And we'll bring them to you. I said, yeah, absolutely. And they brought it to our kitchen. And we spent the entire weekend, I think we dedicated like two or three staff to just coring the tomatoes, putting them on trays, oiling them, and then baking them.
Wow.
And then freezing them. It was a production line of just process the tomatoes. So
getting
that we can
it done.
Save them. Yeah. And then we literally would empty for months after that. We would literally use, no, it was probably about 2 months after that, before we went through them all. We would literally just empty the tomatoes into the big soup kettle. We have a 40-gallon soup kettle. So if we're making tomato sauce, great. Empty the tomatoes in, throw your garlic and your basil and your seasonings in, and then take our big immersion blender and buzz the whole thing until it's nice and smooth. And then we have sauce.
Very good.
Yeah, it was incredible. Like that, and that's a huge cost savings to us because we buy canned tomatoes all the time. We buy diced, we buy crushed, you know, like, and we use them in so many different things, whether it's soups or stews, whether it's like tomato sauce, lasagna, any kind of baked pastas, we're using crushed tomatoes. And it's one of those nutrient dense things that's really good for people because it's high in vitamin C.
And I think a cool thing about Chew is it's an inspiration to everyone. Like other organizations can kind of take your out of the box thinking and ingenuity to apply to themselves to make a difference. And for individuals, it's like, hey, maybe I can apply some of these things so I'm not wasting as much food as possible, and kind of like changing the cycle that's out there, changing minds as well.
Yeah, thanks for that. Yeah, I like when I get to talk to people about it and spread that word about upcycling food and really not being so picky.
Exactly.
You know, if something doesn't look nice, don't just throw it away. Either cook it into something or freeze it, you know, chop it up and freeze it, and it looks the same as everything else, right?
Exactly.
Or if you have to, compost it. Or if you have a farm, give it to your animals. Or if you know a farmer, collect stuff for them and then have them come and pick up. We have a couple of farmers that come to us at our big kitchen. So it offsets our compost cost because we pay for composting. On one hand, we actually have two different compost programs running right now out of our big kitchen. One is through Compost Winnipeg, which we pay for them to come and pick up. Before we fill our Compost Winnipeg bins, we fill our Carbon Lock Tech bins, which are amazing because we don't have to pay for them to get filled up and emptied. And the guys from Carbon Lock Tech are actually doing a like research and development or piloting right now, this machine that they created that actually takes the compost and compresses it and burns it at the same time to create biochar, which is like little charcoal bricks that can go and get crumbled up back into your soil.
Oh, bringing that nutrients back into there.
Right? It brings the nutrients back into the soil. And as they're burning and compressing everything, they have a capture system to capture any emissions.
Very cool.
It's so cool. So we're so happy to work with them as a partner and support them in their development of this product. And at the same time, it offsets our compost cost as well. So we got farmers that we call for certain things that aren't quite ready to compost, but we just got to get rid of them because we're not going to use them. And then if there's things that we can't upcycle because they're too far gone, we compost them. It's very full circle, the way that we've been operating.
Yeah, I think it's just so awesome, the multifaceted approach to an organization looking at all aspects and what we can do to improve our communities around us. As you're talking about finding new ways to use food as individuals, like one of the things I've been trying to do is pickle things. A lot of the time, I don't go through that many onions. So when I cut an onion, a lot of the times, half of it would go to waste. So now it's, you know, you just take a little bit extra time, maybe an hour of your day sort of thing.
Yep.
Pickle that leftover onion, and then you've got a tasty little, either a treat or to put on other meals and things.
You know what? I actually just, my dad taught me about pickling and preserving when I was a kid. And as an adult, I hadn't really done it myself. And then my husband and I started growing a garden. We had grown a couple gardens when the kids were babies, like when they're little. And then we kind of got out of it and it wasn't doing very well. So we were like, whatever. And we left it alone for a bit. And just the last 2 years, we started really heavily gardening again and actually collecting all of our harvest to preserve things. Finally started because I was just freezing things primarily, like zucchini and squash and stuff, and, you know, cube it up or slice it up or spaghetti it or something and just freeze it. But just this year, I started learning, teaching myself about canning and pickling things. And I was like, oh, this is so much better.
Yeah, a lot of techniques and skills that have been lost kind of a little bit.
I've started to get into like drying things too, because we grow a lot of herbs. So like this year I had, I had like this trough garden box. Like it was probably like a 2 foot by 4 foot garden box. And it was full of basil and cilantro. And I was actually able to, I've never dried cilantro before, but I was able to dry cilantro. And I was able to dry basil and have my own dried basil ready to go. Like I have all these jars of just dried herbs now. And it's been incredible.
Yeah, it's a self-reliance sort of thing that a lot of things have kind of pushed us towards relying on.
Ugh, yeah. And now they've made it so expensive that people are struggling to keep up with it. But that's the way that they've learned how to operate. So now it's that time where we're just like trying to teach people a different way.
For this upcoming Christmas season, what sort of demands are you seeing, and how can people help out too to help people who are kind of struggling at this time?
Well, we have actually an unprecedented number of hampers that have been requested already, even though we don't have a hamper program that you can sign up for.
Oh boy. It's all sort of word of mouth sort of thing.
We've just had people asking us, like from the agencies that we work with, because we primarily, like, we don't serve the public out of our warehouse with our emergency hamper program. We only serve the case managers and the outreach workers. So like action therapy outreach and CFS, Métis CFS and the public health nurses at the different access clinics. And they'll reach out to us and be like, hey, do you know where I can get, in this case, some turkeys? Do you know where I can get small turkeys? Do you know where I can get medium-sized turkeys? Do you know where I can get cranberry sauce? Do you know where I can get boxes of stuffing? Like a lot of them. We know where we can get potatoes, but people are asking for a lot of Christmas hampers this year. And I'm like, I don't want to say no, but we need to be able to get some turkeys. So that is the thing that I need this year. We need cash donations via e-transfer. And also we need turkeys, frozen turkeys.
Turkeys. Cash and turkeys.
Cash and turkeys, man. Yeah, so we're looking for, because we had purchased all of our large turkeys for the meals that we're making, but now it's just like the smaller, like the small size turkeys, so like the 6-person family size turkeys, like 5 to 7 kilogram, or even the 7 to 9 kilogram. Yeah, because we've purchased all the other ones that we can in the larger sizes, but it's just those smaller ones that we're looking for, and those seem to be the ones that are going the fastest at the stores. So yeah, if we can get some donations of those, that'd be absolutely rocking for Christmas.
What about volunteer hours? Is there a way people can help out by,
Yeah.
giving their time?
Yeah, definitely. We've actually got I actually have a poster that I'm putting up on our social media in the next couple of days about volunteering to serve meals at a number of organizations that we help out. We have meals to serve at Ndinawemak, we have meals to serve at Kikkinen Center, we have meals to serve for women at Ikwe Shelter, and then we also have drivers that are needed to transport those meals. The reason we're doing it that way this year is so that we can give our very hardworking staff some days off and really just run skeleton crew, but not have it affect our production. And anybody who's interested, I'll give you the links for people to reach out to me via email or text or social media.
Fantastic. Yeah, it's a hard time, and it's kind of a all hands on deck sort of situation to help out
Absolutely,
our
it is.
community.
Yeah,
Amazing.
it'll take all of us to work together to get it done. But I mean, that's why we started it as collaboration over competition. Just say yes and get it done.
Winter is upon us now. Cozy up as lights go down. Deep and dark the longest night. We're drawn to the brightest edge of the world. Silhouetted trees so bare. Biting cold in moonlit air. Your icy breath, it takes me there. To the brightest edge of the world. Frozen lashes frame your blues. This day the sun stands still with you. Time for stories to be told. Making angels in the snow. Catching flakes up on my tongue. We'll long to be forever young. You'll grasp my mitten and the chill. We'll muse this day, the sun stands still. Seasons of the souls entwined. Release, relax, let go, recline. Hush ahead, we'll delve divine. To the brightest edge of the world. To empty needs, no mighty will. Powdered soft, becoming still. Like melting snow, we cleanse ourselves. This the day the sun stands still. Frozen lashes frame your blues. This day the sun stands still with you. Time for stories to be told. Making angels in the snow. Catching flakes up on my tongue. We'll long to be forever young. You'll grasp my mitten and the chill. We'll muse this day the sun stands still. This tradition of new wonder, as we find our souls going under, we sometimes wish it could stay, but nature has her cycles and must have her way. So we move with a circle and around we go, but we learn as the ages grow, a dark night of the soul doesn't last forever. Spring follows winter, like day follows night, we remember darkness followed by light. We move with a promise that whatever we let go of is replaced by something of equal or greater love. stories to be told, making angels in the snow, catching flakes upon my tongue, who long to be forever young. You'll grasp my mitted hand and chill, will muse or stay, the sun stand still.
My name is Jay Malowski. I'm one of the co-founders of Peg City Kindness Crew, where we've got a board. We're incorporated now since last time we talked. Right?
I'm very excited. Shiny.
One of my friends actually come on board as a director and be like, this is what you need to do to be an actual working board and to be organized and to be incorporated. They helped us out a lot with that. And so now we have a board of six. Thank God, because we don't know what we're doing with 700 people who need food for the holidays, but we're it's literally the outpouring of love has been nonstop and remarkable, but the need is more than I've ever seen it in my life.
It is so mind-boggling, the challenges that people are currently facing. Talking with other organizations, like they're expecting record numbers again, and just reading news online, there are so many new organizations that are just trying to help people through this season. You're mentioning like 700 people, and it was like just on your like the first 27 hours or something like that that you got all that response.
So we decided to do hampers a little bit differently this year for the holidays, where we were going to be more organized and more prepared. And we were like, we've got this, come on. And so we were like, we're opening applications from this date to this date. And within the first 27 hours, we had 700 applications for families who wanted holiday hampers from us. And the thing about like Peg City Kindness Crew is that we're not funded. We're not like, we are volunteer, fully volunteer driven, fully volunteer, like people donations, that sort of thing. It's super grassroots still. As much as we're like, hey, we're incorporated, we're still as grassroots as we were probably day two. Let's be honest. When we got 700 applications through our Google form, we were like, how are we going to do this? We don't have the like people power or the amount of food or the amount of funds. And we've been saving all year for this.
Yeah.
So we were like, what are we... We're at like five, maybe coming up on 6,000 right now. And we need $24,000 to cover all of these hampers. It was like a full-fledged panic from all of us. And like a lot of emotion. There's been so much emotion for us this year. And we're always emotional people. Like, don't get me wrong. We cry at everything.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that. It's important to feel emotion, to feel passionate and compassion about situations like this. But at the same time, yes, it can be incredibly overwhelming, especially when you're knowing that these people need help.
Yeah, like it's not like people are coming to us because they're like, hey, I just want food. It's food insecurity is at an all-time high across the country. We've had a 330% increase in just this one initiative that we do. Deanna and I sat down and we're like, what are we, how are we? We're not in the spirit of letting people down. That's not who we are. That's never been who we are. That's never been what we're about. We always find a way to make it work. And there's always like a last minute miracle for us, but we're terrified that letting down a huge number of people is not what we're known for. And it's not what we believe in. So we're like, we're going all in with everything that we have. We've got 40 volunteer drivers this year, which is more than we've ever had. We've got another like 40 volunteer packers, because the Canine Advocates have given us a space to operate out of, as opposed to our living rooms and our driveways lined with turkeys or chickens, right? Like it's a huge come up for us, and we're so proud of the work that we've put in, but like we're also terrified that we might not be able to meet the need that we're expecting to.
Well, it is good to hear that there are people coming together, and as you're mentioning, like, food insecurity is at an all-time high, and there's so many factors that have led into it. Inflation, you know, we're still feeling the hurt from COVID. Grocery chains and everything are reporting record profits. Like, there's no kind of challenging off these. Yeah, no breaks on there. The Ukraine war, so many Ukrainian immigrants and refugees. In one article I was reading, it's like one in three of people who are looking for hampers this year, at least through the Harvest Manitoba, are all Ukrainians, which is just showing like there are so many people in need, and it's great that we brought people in to help them during those hard times. But, you know, now our governments and institutions really need to be thinking ahead and helping these people, like helping Canadians, 100%. Helping new Canadians. And hopefully with the new NDP government, we start to see changes over the coming years. But, you know, that's a long time thing. Like, that's things in progress, and we need help now.
Yeah, so, like, not that we have statistics or have ever pushed for statistics to figure it out, which we should, because it would help. But I think that I would safely say that 60 to 70% of our applicants are Indigenous folks. Mm-hmm. I'm Indigenous, right? Like, I'm Indigenous, I'm Two-Spirit. Like, this is like my relatives, right? So it's even more like I want to do, and I want to help, and I want to live up to the expectation that we've got now. Even our board has been so hit by like COVID and everything that's happening around us. Two of our board right now are on EI, are not working. One of them being myself, right? So like we're doing everything we can to give back, but like we ourselves are like, we can't throw money at this to fix the problem. What we find is that people who need help help other people. And so we're like, yeah, like most of our volunteers are people who have applied, are people who have helped, gotten help from us in previous years, are people who have followed us and watched us grow and build and just like believe in what we do and believe in like the passion that like all of our board and like Deanna and I started with. So it's really organic. And that's one of the things that I've always loved about the way that we've grown and the way that we've like built a following, I want to say, but like it's always been so organic. Yeah, exactly. It's just always been so organic. And so like, I can put faces to names. I can like, it's always been very, I know this person, I might not know them right away to their face, but I know that they've done this for us or this or this or this. Right? Or Deanna knows, right? Between the six of us on the board, we can pretty much connect with the majority of the people that we interact with regularly.
For individuals who have gone through challenges, and I mean, almost everyone is really feeling the burn in these past couple of years, you know how challenging it can be. So you want to help out others, because otherwise people get left behind. Like, there's so many stories of people who are like, seeing like, well, how am I going to eat this year? How am I going to feed my family? And, you know, it breaks my heart hearing those things, but there's only so much you can do as an individual, right? When you're also struggling yourself.
Yeah, it's not like there's a mass amount of food sitting in people's cupboards just collecting dust anymore. It's like, it's people who are giving to their neighbors who are helping. Like, I've heard so many really, truly beautiful stories of people giving, like, even just this year alone, like even in the last, I'd say like 3 weeks, of people being like, oh, I did this to help out or for kindness. Oh, I did this to be kind. Oh, I did this. And I'm just like, that's beautiful. That's exactly what we need. This is exactly what like people need to do. And they're like, but you're doing so much more. I'm like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter like what capacity I have versus your capacity. It's the fact that there's still kindness being spread. There's still compassion and empathy, and there's still care. And that's what it really comes down to. And that's what we need from people, is people to be engaged and to care about anyone that they're really coming across.
I guess that's really the hope right now, that people start to really notice what's happening in our communities, in society, and want to make a difference, to get involved, to become part of their community. One of the biggest issues within Western like culture and Western society is the individualism that's there, that it's always like, well, I mean, it's much more prevalent in the United States than it's here in Canada, but I do hear the same things of like, oh, just pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Like, you just have to work harder. Don't be lazy. Get a third job. Stuff like that. It's like, well,
that's exactly it. Yeah.
Sometimes you can't do those things, especially for individuals who are like, if they're new to the country, they don't have the requirements, because, you know, it's so hard. You need like 10 years of experience for an entry-level job now.
Yeah, it's wild. It's I think that's what's like so put into such a perspective for me, is that like, here I am, like, I spent 13 years in the travel industry. COVID hit, I lost my job. We've talked about that before. And then I started getting into like working with people and meeting them where they're at, and like getting into like not-for-profits. And that's kind of where I started taking off with this, right? With Peg City Kindness Group. But now here I am again, and I'm just like, oh, I got laid off. Okay, we're starting again. And like, there's that immediate sense of like, oh, I let somebody down, or oh, I'm letting somebody down. But then you have to stop and think and be like, no, there's how many other people around me that are in the same situation that have worked just as hard as I have. That like, we've all worked so hard. There's a point in my life I was working four jobs at one time, right? So like, I'm just like, that doesn't matter. This has nothing to do with me as a person, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and that's what people really need to like keep in their minds, is that like, it's not you.
Yeah, there's a lot of systemic challenges and policy that needs to change. And I think more people are feeling it. Like, people are seeing the struggles that we're having here in Canada. And I mean, this isn't necessarily just a Canada issue. When we're looking around the world, like the UK after Brexit, like their economy is devastated right now. People are more frustrated than ever. When we're looking down in the United States or South America, people are feeling the burn. And sometimes bad outcomes happen out of that because people are desperate, which is why we need to work together, to be united.
You're like, you've got it right, like right there, exactly what you've said. It's just like, people just need to care more. They need to be more engaged. That's the best way that I can say it, is that you need to be more aware of like what's happening even right beside you and across the world. You need to see the suffering and the desperation that is coming together, and you can't just turn a blind eye anymore.
Oh, definitely. Like,
you really need to engage.
You were mentioning you have 40 volunteer drivers this year, which is amazing, seeing people help out. I mean, I don't even have a car anymore. Like, I understand how expensive it is for both gas and driving. So it's amazing to hear that people are willing to give their time and their vehicle to help out. What are some other ways people can help volunteer? Because, you know, it's so... What's the words? It is so challenging sometimes, because sometimes when you're picturing like hampers and things, it's just like, oh yeah, you just go to the place and pick it up. Well, that's not necessarily the case for everyone. Some people might be struggling with addictions, or someone might have a mobility issue or some other barrier that prevents them from going to these places to get help.
So that's exactly why we started doing it the way we did. And we've always been like, we'll deliver hampers. That's easy for us to be like, yeah, we'll bring it to you. No problem. We've got that. We say it's easy, but now we're realizing that it's not quite as easy as we thought it was. But like, it is what it is. We need people to come out, and we need people to help us pack hampers. Packing 700 hampers with like 15 different kinds of food items each takes a lot of hands, takes a lot of people, it's a lot of love. So we need people to come out and do that. We've got right now about 35, 40, but we need more than that. And we're realizing it. We were like, 20 would be great. And then we're like, oh, this is much more than we needed. Like, we need more people. There's not enough food. Like, there's not enough food. There's not enough hands. We need all of the things. And then we need drivers. We're realizing that we need about 100 drivers. Honestly,
wow.
To be able to get 700 hampers out in the 3-4 days that we're doing deliveries, we need a lot of people, and we need to be more organized than ever. And we're doing our best at that one, at least.
Yeah, that's a big challenge with Winnipeg, right? We're such a wide city. Like, we're not very densely populated in certain areas. It's kind of like spread all across the area.
Exactly. And so where we've operated out of Westwood, because I think you helped us deliver last year. Yeah, I was like, I know you came out to help out. And so where we operated out of Deanna's house in Westwood last year, like Canine Advocates, like I said, has given us a space in St. Kate. So it's a little bit more central, which is massive. But also it's like somewhere that we can have like an operation station out of and kind of just be like, okay, we're sending people here this way, that way, this way. Janelle and I have gone through like all of the addresses and all of the names and all of everything to, and so one of our volunteers, Connie, has stepped up hugely for us with this, to try and get it all organized. But like, we also need food items to be able to make hampers. You will obviously need things to put in the hampers. So we've spoken to No Frills, and they're working with us on this to put together like a hamper package for $40. And that's going to feed a family of like three or four people for about a week's worth of like pasta and things like that. And a lot of it's non-perishable because we don't want things to go bad, because it's going to last longer, because it's just,
yeah, you need it to go further. You need it to stretch, right?
We need to stretch as much as we can at this point. And so they're like, yeah, we'll do this. We'll throw this together for you. And we can do it for $40 a family. And that's huge. That's a massive amount of savings. Where our first year, we were doing hampers for $80 and we were trying to make that work. But we still need more like canned vegetables. We still need more pasta. We still need more sauce. We still like all the things that like you would expect to find in like a Staples hamper type thing are the things we need.
Speaking of those essential items, another challenge are like people with very specific dietary restrictions. For like someone with diabetes, well, I mean, there's health and then there's like religious restrictions and things. I think we talked one time that you moved away from like seasonal hams in order to help support Jewish families or Muslim families. And then when we're mentioning about pasta, like one of the things many people don't realize is like carbohydrates break down. That's a lot of sugar in your blood. So if someone has diabetes or another a condition like that, you know, they have to be very aware. And when you're looking at the multi-grain options, it's so expensive in comparison. Not to say that no food isn't expensive right now.
No, exactly. Like a bag of pasta right now is about $2 a bag. Whereas like previously it was like $1, but like $2 a bag. But the multi-grain is like two or three times that price. And I'm just like, what? How do you, and like trying to get hampers for people to like meet the needs and meet like their dietary requirements is so difficult. Certain grocery stores and things like that won't like help us with that, and like so it is what it is. We're doing our absolute best to meet the needs of folks with a ton of food requirements or allergies and things like that.
There's only so much you can do.
There's so much we can do, and we're just like we're trying. We are, but we're just not able to get there yet.
So you were mentioning different food items, so like non-perishable foods very specifically, like some canned fruits, canned vegetables, canned pastas. What are some other items if people want to donate and do have those extra items in their pantry or can spend those extra dollars when they're going to the grocery store next time? What sort of things should they be looking out for if they're looking to donate?
Yeah, I've got the list right here. So like canned meats, like I said, bagged pasta sauce, canned or packaged soup, like baked beans, the stuffing, like stovetop, stuff like that, pancake mix, syrup, peanut butter and jam, cereal or oatmeal, granola bars, like cake mixes and stuff like that. Because we're still trying to do a holiday hamper, right? We're still trying to give somebody like the holiday experience.
Exactly.
So like, yeah, like they're going to want a dessert. They're going to, right? Like it's not just an essential hamper right now.
Yeah, it's a moment for people to live, right? To celebrate, to be there. Because like you want people to have hope and have an excitement during these times.
Exactly. Like the stories that we hear about people wanting to be able to have like a Christmas dinner for their kids and things like that, or a holiday dinner for their kids. And it's always like so often it's like my kids aren't getting holiday dinner or whatever. And I'm just like, I want to give all of you six turkeys, but I know it's not realistic, or like all the things make it totally happen. But it's just the way that inflation is happening and everything is we're trying to stretch as much as we can to be able to help more families than we ever have. We're just like, it's not. Unless somebody comes through with like a truckload of veggies, we're chilling then. But like Harvest is donating 4,000 pounds of potatoes to us, which I'm just like floored. Not Harvest, I'm sorry, Peak of the Market. That's my bad. They're donating 4,000 pounds of potatoes, but last year like they did potatoes and carrots and onions, right? So like everywhere is feeling the crunch, everywhere is feeling the pinch. So we're like, okay, we'll do canned veggies. We'll get as many of those as we can and go as far as we can with them, right? So it's a different experience this year, for sure. It's emotional. I think it's probably the
I believe
most.
it.
I think Deanna, Janelle, Connie, all of us have cried at least 10 times each easily, right? Like every interview we are doing, we catch up in tears. We're like, no, stop. But like it's
It's an emotional
probably the
time.
most emotional year that we've ever had. Full-fledged, I'm a crier and I know that and I'm good with it. But like this year, I'm just like everywhere I turn, there's beautiful acts of kindness, but there's also like, I'm like, how are we gonna pull through to make this happen? Because Deanna and I, right from the get-go, we're like, we're not in the business of letting people down. This is not what we do. We need to go all out and we need to do this. Like, we're committing to the 700 hampers request that we received to do our best to do it, anyways, right? There's no way that we could just be like, sorry, we can't. That's not in our vocabulary. We're not good at it. So we're gonna try our damnedest to make it happen, to be able to help every family that we can.
Well, make sure you're also taking care of yourselves, right?
That happens after the holidays.
It's awesome to like dedicate 100% of yourself to helping others, but if you burn out, it's hard to help others. Yeah, so make sure you're taking that time to care for yourself during this period.
We're gonna do our best. We're all trying to like cover off for each other, to give each other like a day here, a half a day here, to like step away from it and just have a second to like regroup and be like, okay, all right, okay. But like we're also like stressed, right? That we're like we need a second. The second is not helping. I'm just jumping back in. Okay, cool.
You need more drivers, more people to pack hampers, and more donations when we're kind of looking ahead past the season. So, I mean, your brain's probably completely full with what's going on right now. So, I'm going to try and challenge you to think about what's happening up ahead. But I guess what are kind of the next steps when we're looking towards the following year? You're mentioning like kind of organizing a little bit better, finding new options, that sort of thing. What's up for Peg City Kindness Crew come 2024? Because unfortunately, this might be a reality for a long time.
Now that our eyes have been so opened, I guess, and like we're aware of scenarios around us and situations around us and things like that, we're not blind, but like now that it's been so like brought to the forefront of our mind, I think honestly, we're gonna have to scale and grow and like just start planning much further in advance than we ever have. We need sponsors, we need like companies to step up in big ways for us and to be like, hey, we're all in for this season, or we're all in for the year and that sort of thing. So we need to start doing that. We really need to start getting on grant applications because we've done a few, but like we haven't really focused on that, and that's going to be a huge opportunity for us going forward. But I really want to start looking at more of a opening in harm reduction, and that's always been such a big thing for me, at like as we know, but like I really want to start like branching out in terms of the harm reduction that we do throughout the year, whether that's supplying like safe supplies for folks who are using drugs, for folks who are consuming things like that, right? Like I want more of that involved in what we do. Obviously, we all have Narcan and carry it with us all the time, and we have a supply of it. So if like anybody's ever like, we need Narcan, you can always reach out to us. I want more than that. I want to see more than that for PCKC. And that's really my area that I've spent the most time with on the board when it comes down to, right? Because I'm a recovering addict. It's something that like I'm the one that needs to take the reins on and go with, because everybody else is like, I don't know what I'm doing. And I'm like, it's fine. I got it. It's cool.
Yeah, you have the experience and both lived and like knowledge from like learning more.
So I want that to be an avenue that we push forward in. I want to do emergency hampers year round. Not quite obviously to the extent that harvest is a thing, because we're not
Not
there.
there yet. You gotta
But
like baby steps, right? Baby steps.
exactly. But I want to be able to provide at least like a minimum 10 to 20 a month, right? Because right now we're doing probably five a month max. Then we have other projects and stuff like that. We've got our Fresh Start program for folks who are coming in, for new Canadians who are coming in and have to start with like literally nothing in the houses or apartments that they're going into. And then we're providing like donated beds and donated furniture and things like that. But we need to start developing that more and just really get more organized and have more people, because it's hard to do when it's even just the three of you or four of you, right? Or even six of us here and there, right? It's impossible for us to get to everything. Deanna doesn't drive. I don't have a car anymore, right? Like we're limited in a lot of ways more than we have been previously, but we're trying to find a way, but we're trying to also grow and figure out ways that we can be more beneficial in the kindness that we spread.
So I
100%.
really appreciate that you're kind of looking to try and tackle that as best you can.
Yeah, I like we realize that like a lot of what we do is a band-aid solution, whether it comes down to like government and speaking to the folks that have the power to make real changes and things like that. Like we're willing to go in and do what we can wherever that is and wherever we have that opportunity. We're often sending letters to like MPs and things like that. I'm constantly sending emails and letters and being like, this is what we're doing, but you guys need to fix things. Because we can't fix things, we can band-aid for now.
Where can people go if they want to volunteer their time or give donations, whether that's food items or monetary?
Yeah, so we've got our Facebook page, Peg City Kindness Crew. Everything is there. People can reach out to me specifically. They can call me on my phone. They can email us. We've got our email is pegcitykindnesscrew@gmail.com. That's where people can send e-transfers as well. We've got an Instagram as well. Sorry, I'm really bad at remembering about our Instagram,
No
which
worries.
is also Peg City Kindness Crew. We're trying to be as available and as in touch with everything, but not all of us are the most social media savvy, so we're doing our best.
Hey, thanks for listening. Make sure you tune in every Tuesday for more stories from your community. My name is Ryan Funk. This was U Talk. Have yourself a great holiday season and a Merry Christmas.